Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Steve Penny, publisher of the Silver Chartist Report. And as always, Steve has shared with us a handful of charts that we will be posting below this interview for all of you to follow along. Starting off with platinum, but comparing platinum to gold and silver, we're kind of going to do this together because the theme more or less is the same here, where platinum appears undervalued compared to a lot of the other, all the other precious metals here. Both of these charts show on a more longer term basis just how much platinum has fallen compared to gold and silver. Steve, just in general summary, does this mean that simply platinum needs to rebound because it has been under pressure from gold and silver over the last really couple decades?
Yeah, I think the chart kind of goes hand in hand with bullish fundamentals that are lining up. As a contrarian investor, platinum is my favorite thing to look at right now, right there, right alongside silver. So going back to March of 2020, platinum was the most undervalued that it's ever been relative to gold. Historically, it's like an anomaly when platinum is cheaper than gold. Well, not only is it cheaper, but it's half the price of gold. I don't think that's ever happened before in all the data I've seen. And it's formed this kind of triangle pattern. And just now, this past week, it's breaking out of that pattern. And I think there's a very high likelihood that platinum is going to outperform gold by a wide margin going forward. And you can even do the same ratio chart with silver. And this is pretty surprising to a lot of people because we all like to say silver is the most undervalued metal. And you can definitely make a case for that. But platinum on a ratio basis historically is even undervalued relative to silver, and it looks to be breaking out versus that as well. I think platinum is the one metal that, in my opinion, could potentially outperform silver. I'm not predicting that it will, but it could. And I think all the bearish catalysts or bearish news factors for platinum are already priced in, and even more so. But the bullish catalysts, I think, are being completely overlooked. So really excited about platinum over the next few years. I'm not saying, hey, in the next few weeks, it's going to skyrocket, but you know, if you got a couple year time horizon, platinum could be worth taking a look at.
Well, Steve, let's talk about what some of those bullish fundamental factors could be, because we often hear platinum and palladium considered the other two precious metals along with gold and silver, because they are in bar form and coin form, and there is some investor demand in holding them as a precious metal, but they're really much more industrial metals. You know, they're used in auto catalysts. There is the bright future of potential use of platinum in fuel cell technology, but I'd love you just to unpack what some of the fundamentals are you think could drive platinum in the future.
Yeah, there's a handful, but just to summarize my top three reasons that to be bullish on platinum would be, number one, substitution for palladium. Traditionally, platinum has been used in catalytic converters in diesel engines, and palladium used in catalytic converters in regular gasoline engines. But they can be substituted easily one for one, and it only makes sense for these manufacturers to do that when platinum is half the price of palladium, or less than half the price. So substitution, we're already seeing signs of that. You can look at the import numbers from China, and they're starting to import a lot more platinum and a little bit less palladium. So that's one right there. Hydrogen fuel cell technology. Whether you believe in that technology or not, big money is pouring into that technology. Governments are investing in it. Big companies, Hyundai, is investing in hydrogen technology, and that uses a lot of platinum. So that's another factor that's not being priced in. And then simply investment demand. In this age of where everything's either in a bubble or beaten down, there's a lot of people looking to speculate in out-of-favor assets. And, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only one looking at this ratio chart and saying, wow, platinum is cheap. And at some point, I think big money is going to start to pour in. And it's such a small market that it really doesn't take that much. If just a little bit of, you know, institutional and high net worth investors start investing in platinum, there's just not that much to go around. And I think the price will have to move higher over the next handful of years.
So Steve, when you're looking at comparing platinum to gold and silver, as Shad said, these are precious metals, right? Do you need to compare platinum to other markets? Because in my eyes, if you're comparing platinum to silver, platinum to gold, it does predicate on the fact that we're in at least a stable market, if not a moving higher market. Otherwise, well, if everything's going down in the precious metals, even if platinum outperforms, doesn't necessarily mean you can make money on that trade.
Yeah, exactly. I've run ratio charts comparing it to copper, comparing it to a basket of commodities, DBC. I think we even did that one on your show a few months ago. I'm surprised you don't remember every single chart that I show over the last year.
I love all your charts.
I'm just kidding. But yeah, you can run the same comparison of platinum versus a basket of commodities, and the result is the same. It's undervalued. Could it stay undervalued for another few years? Yeah, that's totally possible. That's why I view this as a kind of a speculative portion of the portfolio. I'm not going all in on platinum or anything like that. I view, you know, silver as a much more compelling value proposition. But if you want to speculate a little bit, I think platinum is really interesting and exciting here.
Well, Steve, just really briefly mention how you do speculate on platinum, because there's only a handful, maybe a dozen or two dozen miners that have exposure to it. Most of those are polymetallic. There are some ETFs. There is the physical side. How do you like to speculate on platinum?
My favorite way is to buy the physical, because like you said, it's hard to find pure play exposure in a mining company to platinum. There's a couple I like that I own in the portfolio, but you know, they're hard to come by. There's the ETF, PPLT. You know, it's not my favorite. It's got an expense ratio of, I think, like close to 1%. So I just prefer to own the physical stuff, but those are some other vehicles.
All right, Steve, let's move on to some of the other charts outside of platinum here, starting with gold. Look, gold is pulled back a little bit, also rebounded. It is staying at a higher level historically than we have seen in a long time. And quite frankly, looks like it's set up more or less a higher trading range, as you are pointing out this 1675 support, which still gold bottomed more recently, well above that level. What do you think about gold in this general? It seems like trading range, albeit a higher trading range.
Yeah, to me, gold is playing out exactly as, you know, I'd kind of expected. Not to sound like, hey, I knew this was exactly going to happen, because that's not the case. But I do remember speaking with you guys and others around March 8th when gold peaked at 2078, saying, hey, nothing keeps going up on this trajectory. This has gone vertical and we're due for a pullback. And the definition, obviously, of an uptrend is higher highs, higher lows. And the most recent low was 1780. So even back in March, I was saying, as long as we make a lower, higher low above 1780, that's an uptrend. Well, the most recent low here from a couple weeks ago on May 17th was 1785. So that's a higher low. And we're back above a rising 200-day moving average. So really nothing concerning in the gold chart here. It feels worse than it is because we had moved up so far so fast, but we're still in an uptrend in gold and nothing concerning here on the chart of gold. I mean, silver obviously looks a lot worse and feels a lot worse, but gold, not so bad.
Well, Steve, I'd love you to unpack that point you just made further. I think it was a key point on just technical analysis that a lot of people miss. And it's one of the most basic things that if you want to see an uptrend in a bull market, you have to have a pattern of higher lows underpinning it. And you've noted that on this chart. And when we talk with people, there's so many people that get swung on these downward moves saying like, oh boy, maybe a new bear market. And it's like, yeah, but it hasn't made a new lower low. And when you even go back to the pandemic in 2020, when it crashed down to 1450, that was higher than the November of 2019, you know, 1440. So yep. It's consistently made that pattern of higher lows, that 1675 that was triple tested. It's never broken below that. Then there was 1721 and then 1780, which you just noted. So as long as gold puts in a higher low here, would you say that that still illustrates the longer term bullishness of the bigger pattern?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of institutional investors too, just look at they define an uptrend besides higher highs, higher lows as being above a rising 200-day moving average. We fit that definition as well. So anyone who looks at charts would say, yeah, it's in a long-term uptrend. I mean, it's not the prettiest chart, but it's in an uptrend. It's consolidating. It's taken longer than many of us thought, including myself, since that August 2020 peak. But, you know, I'm still very bullish on gold. Nothing in the chart stands out to concern me over the short term or longer term.
Are you worried at all about the gold stocks? Because I know a lot of gold investors, they drive down into the stocks. And quite frankly, it's been real tough to make any money in any of the gold stocks. Some of the majors have done well, but boy, oh boy, 90% of the gold stocks have really struggled here. Not quite in that same environment. Do you carry that over at all to gold?
I do, because if gold's going to move higher, eventually the stocks are going to catch up. Even if, let's say, a scenario where the stock market tanked, but gold moved higher, well, yeah, the gold miners would probably get hit as well, but they're eventually going to catch up. So that doesn't concern me at all. I mean, honestly, you don't want to sound like callous or whatever, but I love this environment for scooping up bargains, especially junior silver miners right now. I mean, some of these things are trading dirt cheap. That doesn't mean they can't get cheaper, but I've done pretty well on this because I bought in times like March of 2020 when there's like blood in the streets, you know, 2008. And, you know, these are the times to accumulate. I'm not calling a bottom here. But if you go back to March 8th when gold was $2,078 and you go to Twitter, everyone and their brother's looking to buy gold stocks. People who have never even been, you know, they've been out of the sector for a while. Oh, I'm out of gold. It goes against our human emotions to accumulate when everyone's selling and to sell when everyone's buying. So that's my take on it right now.
Well, Steve, just one more question on gold. And that is, let's say that we do see a pattern of lower lows develop where 1780 was to break, or if 1721 was to break, or worst case scenario, if that 1675 was to break, would you be worried that what we saw from August of 2020 and then again in March of this year up in the above the 2000 level, would you be worried that that was a double top in that kind of a scenario, and would that change your thesis?
It wouldn't change my thesis, because I like to say fundamentals tell me what to buy, technicals tell me when to buy. So the fundamentals would not change. I mean, unless they did, but I can't envision that. But in that scenario, if we lost 1675, by the way, I would be pretty shocked if that happened. Anything's possible, but I think that's a low probability outcome. But if that were to happen, yeah, there would be no denying the significant technical damage inflicted on the chart. And that would mean that it's very likely to take longer to play out than we had even thought. I would still be confident that gold is not dead. It's just going to take longer. But that's a hypothetical scenario. Here we are up, 1860. So if we get down to below 1675, that's when we talk about that. But that would be ugly.
Yeah, gold really has held up well this year. And that whole kind of, I think, war premium spike put, I think, some higher levels in the gold bug's mind that didn't pan out. But fact of the matter is, gold is still largely flat on the year when everything else is quite a bit down. Let's talk on the flip side of that, silver, though, because silver, you have a chart here, and one thing we've been talking about this week is that the monthly close that we saw for silver was one of the lowest since back in mid-2020. As you point out here, look, the recent low in silver, 2042, that is, again, multi-year low. Yeah. Silver continues to look weak. What do you think the outlook is here?
Yeah, the chart is pretty ugly here. So whenever I look at a chart to give it objective technical analysis, I ask myself, what is the trend? That's the first question I ask myself. And the answer is pretty obvious here. You go back to August of 2020, it's just a sideways channel. There is no trend in silver. It's just chopping literally sideways between 20 and 30. The next thing I'll ask myself, are there any clear patterns that can give you some, idea of what the next move might be? Is there a symmetrical triangle pattern, a head and shoulders, something like that? Well, I don't really see any of that right here either. All you have is these horizontal levels, and you can use some Fibonacci numbers and things like that. So 2141 was a double bottom back in September of 2021 and December of 2021. We're back above that, so that's initial support. The recent low is 2042, that's support. If that were to fail, then you've got support down at 1970 and then 1850. So those are the levels to watch. But I look at things like the Commitment of Traders report. That is structured in a way that's consistent with major lows. That doesn't mean we can't go lower, but that's something that tells us we're probably closer to a bottom than a top. I think there's probably maybe a couple dollars of downside risk at the worst, where upside potential can be measured, in $10, $20, $30. So, I think if you've got the proper time horizon, proper position sizing, this is a great time to accumulate.
Well, Steve, I got one more on silver for you, and that is, we had talked, I don't know, maybe it was 2 months ago, and I had asked you at that time, do you think there's any potential that 2141 breaks? And if so, what would your support levels be? And you just kind of laid those out. And you said you thought it was unlikely. But if it did, you had mentioned that you would think a best case scenario would be a quick break below that 2141. Yes. And then a reversal above it, which almost looks like what we've seen here, and that some traders may see that as a false breakdown. Could that be what we just saw?
Yeah, I'm glad you remembered that. Yeah, that's often most breakouts, more of them fail or breakdowns fail. So let's say you're a short seller and you saw silver break above 30, major resistance, but then it quickly came back below 30. You would use that as a signal to go short below 30. Well, the same way here, 2141 is support. So we drop below it. And then some people could use that as a buy signal when it comes right back above it, especially when you're oversold like this. That said, where do you draw that line? Is it 2141 or is it 22? People who use just kind of round numbers, it would be 22. And here we are today. We're still below 22. We're at 2194. But that is a possibility. I would have liked to see that last month on the monthly chart. So like a monthly candle with a big wick down below 22 and then, green candle above it. That would have been a textbook version of what you just described as a false breakdown.
So, Steve, as well as gold is doing, look, fact of the matter is silver, yeah, maybe it hasn't broken down, but you could say it's coming close to breaking down. You just broke down platinum that is also having a lot of trouble. A lot of the base metals are off of some of their highs, but still generally higher prices. It seems like commodities broadly, or at least the metals, they've done well. They've come off their high. Gold is still, I would argue, doing probably one of the best out of the metals, but they seem to be under pressure. Maybe building bases, maybe just showing us that there isn't that much excess capital in the markets to flow into these. What do you take away from still what is generally soft metals prices off of their highs?
Yeah, as we're speaking, I'm going to send you guys one more chart because I just did a ratio review for all the members. And I have one showing commodities versus stocks going back to 2000. And they're still historically undervalued. However, they've outperformed stocks by a wide margin since December of last year. So the last, you know, 6+ months. And we're at a 14-year resistance line in that ratio, and we're extremely overbought. So I was saying, I think it's likely that commodities kind of maybe chop sideways relative to stocks for a couple of months here before resuming that outperformance. So yeah, I could totally see commodities kind of pausing here in their outperformance of general equities for a little bit.
Well, Steve, let's jump into the mining stocks, which are near and dear to many of our listeners' hearts. And you have a chart in here that highlights the ratio between junior silver miners and gold miners. And I think it's a pretty interesting chart. It kind of shows how under pressure the junior silver miners are. And I know that's a sector you follow very closely. Break down that chart for us and what is your takeaway from it?
Yeah, there's several ways you could use this chart, but the simplest way would be if you're someone who's still building out a longer-term precious metals portfolio, and maybe you like some gold miners, you like some silver miners, you can look at this ratio and see, well, actually, it's the junior silver miners that are undervalued relative to their gold mining counterparts. So that's where the bargains are. Again, that doesn't mean they can't go a little bit lower, but for accumulating right now, that's where the value can be found. And that ratio chart had shown a really nice bullish descending wedge pattern. And the way you play that from a technical perspective is once you break out above the upper rail, that's your buy signal. And we just got that this week. So I'm looking for junior silver miners to really begin outperforming their gold mining counterparts. That could look different ways. I mean, the worst case would be, you know, gold miners fall, but silver miners fall less, and that they would still outperform. But regardless, I think junior silver miners are going to do better than gold miners going forward.
How do you rate the junior miners, whether gold or silver, compared to their larger counterparts? Because look, we all know capital is still tight, and junior miners, if they have any issues, boy oh boy, they can have a lot of trouble digging their way out of it. What do you think the balance is, or at least how you are investing in junior miners compared to larger miners?
Yeah, overall, I like to put big money into big stocks, preferably royalty plays, and small money or little money into smaller companies. I like about 20% of my portfolio in explorers and developers. And to be honest, every time we see one of these big drawdowns, I learn something about myself and about how to invest. And every time we see this, I'm like, oh man, I really don't like these explorers. My personality type is more geared towards, you know, royalty plays and streaming companies. But, you know, the value is in the explorers right now.
Well, Steve, just one more on this topic. And that is, we talked about commodities and we talked about how they've done. And as somebody that I also follow the silver space very closely, have a lot of positions in the silver miners, I don't think people give enough lip service to, they're really not pure silver miners. Hardly any of them are. Yeah. Most of them are polymetallic. And there's a lot of zinc and a lot of lead and sometimes copper in these silver miners and producers and the development projects. And we've seen big runs in zinc, big runs in lead, which nobody cares about, but that's a big cost input to these mining stocks. Does that factor in at all when you're looking at these, or do you just chart it based on the silver price?
Well, I like to think that most of that is priced in to the charts and to the ratio charts. You know, the market discounts or takes into account more things than I could possibly, more variables than I could possibly come up with on my own. But yeah, I do look at things like oil to gold ratio. And if you see that ratio, you know, that's a headwind for mining stocks. If their input costs are rising, but the price of gold is stagnant or falling. Yeah, so I do look at things like that. And those kind of things hit the explorers more. Where that's, again, why I like the royalty and streaming companies. I think those present the most compelling, like, value proposition as far as risk reward. They may not be 20 baggers or 10 baggers, but I sleep well at night. And, you know, I'm confident that those are going to do very well.
Yeah, those are a bit more stable stocks and can weather the storm of either liquidity events or just, quite frankly, sentiment-driven events that draw people away from the sector. Let's also talk interest rates, because you shared this 10-year Treasury yield chart with us. I think we all know that yields have continued to drop. This show's over 40 years, the yields continuing to drop. But boy, oh boy, they've come back in a hurry, and now they are challenging that general downtrend line. This could be huge if yields truly do change course and break this downtrend line in a sustainable fashion. What do you think the odds are of that?
It's kind of a nuanced answer, because I believe that that March 2020 low in the 10-year yield, I think it was 0.36, which is ridiculous. I think that probably marked the end of a 40-year bull market in bonds. And since then, you know, we've gone from 0.36% up to over 3% in a relatively short period of time. Now we're extremely overbought. The RSI is the most overbought it's been since the 80s. And we're against a 40-year downtrend line. That's major, major resistance. So I think the trend has changed in that we're going to see higher interest rates going forward. We've moved really far, really fast. So I think we're due for a pullback here in yields, which could maybe give a bit of a reprieve to commodities and silver and gold and even general equities, to be honest. So I'm looking for a pullback in yields over the shorter term, but over the longer term, I think we're going higher in treasury yields and interest rates.
Yeah, it seems that way. What a different world that will be if we do truly start to see a run higher in yields, and what a change it could make for investors' strategy is now, hey, they could actually be getting paid something to keep money more on the sidelines rather than having to put it into the markets.
And one more thing on that, Corey, I don't want to go too long here, but that's just a 40-year downtrend in yields. And most money managers have never experienced a period where the trend is higher in interest rates. And like you said, that would change everything. So it's going to be interesting to watch, especially relative to inflation. You know, real yields are what matter, of course, because inflation is running hot and yields are rising, but inflation's rising faster. All things we can talk about in the months ahead, but that's something to watch, the yield on that 10-year.
And to your point, also inflation, because if yields start to overtake inflation in a more prolonged sense, that could mean very different things for a number of different markets. Steve, great chatting with you as always, buddy. Thank you for sharing these charts. Always enjoy reading over and watching your work as well as chatting with you on our show. So we do appreciate your time. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great weekend.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks.